Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 308.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. I did it again. Episode 308. I'm talking too fast for my brain. My goodness. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Obviously, I love delivering raw, unedited podcasts to you. I think those are the most fun to listen to. In my personal opinion, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I love when, you know, the clean, perfect, pristine podcast. It's just not real life, right? I like being raw. I like experiencing real things. I don't like the cleaned up. Everything is not cleaned up in life. It's just not the way life works, right? Anyway, thank you guys so much for being here. I have a great episode on assessing yourself for solo piano. Tools and steps you should walk yourself through to assess yourself in solo piano. Now, the reason I did this for a very specific reason, and that is I am walking my personal private students through this in my new accelerator program. Now, the program is open for enrollment. It doesn't start until September, but everyone who signs up now gets to study with me privately starting now and continuing throughout the program, which goes from September all the way to the beginning of December. So I'm setting benchmarks, excuse me, with my students. I'm meeting with them individually to go over their goals and things like that. And obviously, benchmarks and goals and assessments and checkpoints are really, really important. And in private lessons, I didn't get much of this. And in college, I got it, obviously, because you need to do tests and stuff. But if you're an individual taking private lessons, most of the time, you probably won't get this. And I think it's so important. I think it's so important for a student to have benchmarks and checkmarks and assessments to test and measure whether they can do something or not. Otherwise, the private lessons, they just go on forever. It seems like they're endless. It's like you just continuously taking lessons. It's like, when does it end? It never ends. But like having those check marks and, you know, goals are great accomplishments. They're feelings of accomplishments. They lead to confidence and achievement, happiness, inspiration, motivation, something to work towards. It's not just like an endless stream of lessons, which can be so like, oh my God, it's like trudging through mud. It's like, when do I ever reach a goal or a certain point where I feel happy? That's why these checkpoints are so important. So this podcast lesson is directly taken from what I'm working on with my students because it is the very beginning. There's plenty of time to still enroll in this program if you're interested. And again, you get to study with me privately. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/small-group to learn more information and enroll if you'd like to. You can actually enroll on that page. The investment there, the price is there, all the details there, the full calendar is there, all these FAQs are there, and you can learn more about the program. If that's something you're interested in doing and you want to invest in taking a deeper step to learning jazz piano and working with me and going through my education, then I'd highly recommend that for you. There's lots of spots open, so I shouldn't say lots, but they are filling up, but there's plenty of time. So go ahead and do that if you're interested. Again, jazzpianoschool.com/small-group. But the assessment, even if you don't enroll, is so great for students to start to get in the habit of. And maybe if you're studying privately with a teacher, you're just kind of working on your own, you can use these as benchmarks, which is exactly why I recorded the podcast episode, to help you. Like if you're a self-teaching student, like meaning you're teaching yourself through my videos or anyone else, books, whatever, these are great ways to self-assess your solo piano skills. And if you're working with a teacher, maybe ask him for some goals, you know, benchmarks. Like, hey, can we set a goal so that in 6 weeks from now, I can test myself and see if I can work towards XYZ. And be specific. Don't just say, like, I want to be able to play this tune. The goals in this particular lesson are going to be very specific with a tempo scale, execution scale, like how you're supposed to move through it, right? And the more specific you can be with these goals, the more progress you're going to make. The more efficiency you're going to have in your progress, excuse me, in your practice, excuse me, right? The more efficient you're going to be with your practice because you know exactly what to work on. That's one of the number one issues and problems that students have trying to teach themselves jazz piano or just anything in life is that they don't have specific goals. It's like they go down one rat hole, then they go down another one, and then they're working on copying, then they're working on solo piano and improv. It's like the internet is a great thing, don't get me wrong, but like YouTube and like all this stuff out there, trust me, it's completely distracting. And you have no idea what to work on. You have no idea what to practice. And it turns your practice into a smorgasbord of like just random stuff that really leads nowhere. And that's why, honestly, most people don't make progress self-teaching themselves. Even when they sign up for memberships, that's just library videos. This is why I have a problem with libraries too. That sounds bad. I have a problem with like memberships online that are just like libraries of videos, because what's the difference between YouTube and a membership you pay for that's a library of videos that lets the student choose what video that they want to learn about? It's the same thing. YouTube's free. Like, don't sign up for a membership or a course unless there's like a plan or like steps involved to like walk you through the information in order that you could never put together yourself because you're not the professional, right? Let's think about this logically here, guys and girls and everyone in between, okay? You know, YouTube is a database. If I pay for a membership and it's also a database, what's the difference, right? There is no difference. So you really want to think about the way you learn, think about education, think about what you're investing in. And, you know, it's one of the things I harp on. It's my philosophy is having a structured path, because I'm going to place the next best exercise for you in the moment that you're currently in. Think about that, right? You can work on lots and lots of stuff, but the stuff probably 99% of the time probably isn't the right thing for you in the current moment in time that you're at in your jazz piano journey. It's too hard. It's too easy. It's too off topic. It's too unorganized. It's not detailed enough. Who knows? There's like thousands of problems that I could bring up by trying to go onto YouTube and trying to do this, right? Anyway, I'm kind of getting on a little soapbox here again. Anyway, the Accelerator program is great. This is why I love all the education inside of Jazz Piano School as well, because it's a total system, right? I have my main course curriculum, Success Path, Lab Area, Specialty Courses. They all fit into a system that's actually built to bring you down a path, inspire learning, help educate you in a step-by-step, clear, systematic formula to help you reach your goal. But utilize this podcast. This is like, this, you should save this podcast, because honestly, I really haven't done something like this ever, I don't think. And I've done 300 episodes. Like, I would favorite this podcast, at least record or like download it. Utilize these steps, these systematic assessment steps in your solo piano performance, and I promise you, you'll make so much more progress. A, because you have a focused practice routine you can set up from this. You have specific benchmarks to work towards. Just that alone is better than just trying to play tunes or just trying to improvise or just trying to like comp through tunes, right? So A, you'll have a specific goal in mind and a practice plan you can do. And B, your mental mindset target is now uber focused on what you need to do. And that's going to help your motivation, your inspiration, your confidence, all of the above. Okay? Again, enrollment for my accelerator program, my 3-month accelerator program is open. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/small group. If you have any questions about it, I'm hopping on calls with students. Like, if you want to get on a call and say like, hey, I'm not sure if I'm the right fit for this, I'm happy to talk with you. If you want to shoot me an email, you can do that as well. BrendanLowe@jazzpianoschool.com, B-R-E-N-D-E-N-L-O-W-E at jazzpianoschool.com. Shoot me an email, right? Write in. Let me know if you have questions about the program. I'm literally willing to help you decide if it's right for you or not, okay? Because I'm here. I'm here and I want to help you. But again, go check out the information first. Look over the calendar. See if it fits with your schedule, your job, your kids, whatever. And if you have questions about it, please, please write in. Let me know. Maybe you want to get on a call with me and talk about it. I'm willing to do that for you, okay? But again, go check out the information first, jazzpianoschool.com/small group. And again, if you want to enroll, you can actually enroll right there, all right? But with that being said, let's move into this episode. And again, please download this, put it somewhere, save it somewhere, record it, whatever you need to do. This is uber important for like every single student out there. All right, here we go. All right, so you might have guessed it, but the first step to assessing your solo piano skills over a tune is, you might have guessed it, the melody. Can you play the melody? So what I'd recommend here, it's not just can you play it, but can you play it fluidly, smoothly? I would put a metronome on, so have a metronome clicking. You can do this in two different types of ways. You can do it on 1 and 3, but I would recommend you do it on 2 and 4. So I'm pulling up my metronome here. I know you can't see this. And I'm going to set my metronome to 2 and 4. So for example, if I want to play Autumn Leaves, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, I want it to beat on 2 and 4. So let's try, I always like to do 120 as a middle bass ground for especially tunes, being able to, or exercises playing tunes. So here, it's playing, it's beating at 120. This would be all quarter notes, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. If I wanted to be on 2 and 4, I'd put it to 60 BPM. That would be my 2 and 4. So if I put on 60, that's my 2 and 4. Can you hear it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Whatever you want, right? Put that on and play the melody. All right, here we go. I'm going to put it up a little bit. I'm going to put it back to chord notes just for sake of beat here. Okay. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. This is all you're doing, right? Just going through the tune. Now you should be able to go through the whole melody, memorized or not, hopefully memorized, and just play the melody without making any mistakes. That's really your first benchmark solo piano goal, to do that, right? If you can't do that, I would definitely spend more time on that, right? The melody is a really important thing to the tune, okay? And that should really be the first step, is knowing the melody, all right? The next step to learning a solo piano tune is going to be the bass notes. We need bass notes in our solo piano language. After bass notes comes chords, right? So I'm going to start, I can add chords later on. But the very first step, before I get into all these different types of things, right? I need to know my bass notes, because if I don't know my bass notes, I'm not going to know what chords I really need to play. So I'd urge you and recommend you to test yourself just walking bass notes alone throughout the tune. That's it. You don't even need to walk bass. Just play the bass notes. So I'm going to put my tempo back on. It's on 120. Again, you can use my tempo scale, 60, 90, 120, 150, 180. All right. So right now I have it right in the middle. 120, okay? If you need to revert back to 90 BPM, that's great. And the way that my scale works is 60 is just starting. Whenever you're starting with a tune or an exercise, use 60 BPM. 90 is you're getting the hang of it. 120 is solid. If you can play something at 120, that's pretty solid. 150 is swinging away. You're 180, you're a master, okay? So that's my tempo scale. You can always use that for any assessment of any exercise, any tune, anything you're trying to assess yourself on. Here we go. 2, 3, 4. Bass note. Bass note.
Again, this is going to feel boring and unimportant, but I can promise you, I bet you a lot of people listening out there can't even do this, right? Without making mistakes, maybe even talking to people, right? Like I am, I'm trying to teach and talk at the same time. This right here should be second nature. Like I know the chords and the harmonies so well to Autumn Leaves that I don't even have to really think about the bass notes. I know the bass notes, the whole structure to the tune. You should be able to do this for every tune that you want to learn and play solo piano for, right? Now, if you if you don't have it memorized, that's okay. You can use the chart. I would get up to a point where you can do what I just showed you, looking at the chart, and then start to memorize it, and then move off the chart and do the exact same thing, all right? Now that we know the bass notes, the next step is going to be harmonies or chords. Now, if this is where we start to get into a split of varying levels. If you're a beginner player, here's what you're going to want to do. If you're a very, very, very beginner player, what you're going to be doing is putting the melody with your left-hand root position chords. This is going to sound very beginner. This is the most beginner jazz performance of Autumn Leaves you could possibly get. Right? So I'm not swinging the tune at all, okay? I'm not doing anything fancy. I just have the, you know, notes moving through. But that's essentially what your goal is. That's the goal for a very beginner student. So you're going to need your left-hand root position voicings. So your next step three, your assessment, can I play left-hand root position voicings? Now, our whole bass note exercise that we just completed was so important to this exercise because we now know the bass notes to all of our chords, right? You see how this starts to ebb and flow with each other? So put the metronome back on. One, two, three, four. This is actually quite fast, right? When I'm demonstrating it, so I definitely start out slower, but if you can do this at 120, you're good. You're good to go. Here we go. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Two, three, four. Right? You should be able to do that for the entire tune. Again, if you're stumbling or missing any of the chords at 120, go to 90 and practice the chords more, right? You got to practice these movements in your hand to get them under your hand and work that up to a tempo of 120. Because otherwise, you're not going to be able to do the final step here, which is putting the melody with these chords. Okay, now for more advanced, intermediate to advanced players in solo piano, when you start to break this down, right, what you're going to be doing is what I call a broken stride method, which is going to be alternating between bass notes and rootless voicings. Or just shells, so maybe just shells. So if you're in an intermediate or advanced player, your assessment in step three, what I'm showing you right now, isn't going to be root position voicings. That's too beginner for you. Your assessment here is going to be rootless voicings or just shells. I recommend you start with shells. Two, three. Let's put the metronome on. Right, here we go. Three, four, one, two, three, four. I'm just voice leading shells through my tune. Now on my minor 7 flat 5, I need the flat 5 in there. This is getting a little too low probably. So I'll jump up here maybe, or here. Right, I can go here with my shells. You should be able to do both ways. I'm voice leading shells, my B flat major, E flat major 7, A minor 7 flat 5, D7, G minor major. Okay, that's your first assessment. Then again, if you're a more advanced player, that's for intermediates. If you're an advanced player, do rootless voicings, right? So here we go, rootless voicing, 2, 3, 4, rootless voicing. I don't have the root in there, right? These are all rootless voicings. 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4. Whoops, sorry. I don't even know my own rootless voicing. Right? Okay. So, just moving through. And again, you should be able to do both ways. Okay, so this is structure one right here. Here's your A minor 7 flat 5, natural 9 on top, or flat 9, whatever you're using. So if you're doing it the other way, here's your other structure. You should be able to practice both structures, just like this. Right, here's your A minor 7 flat 5. You can do this or an altered into your minor major. That's your next best assessment for your voicings, all right? Now, for a beginner player, the next assessment step is to put melody with chords. Just like this. Now again, anytime you do one of these assessment steps, revert the tempo back to like 60 or 90 to start it out until you get the exercise. But let's say you've practiced it, put the tempo on 120. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. This is a total jazz beginner. There's no swing feel. Right? My microphone keeps getting in the way. I push the melody there. But that's what a beginner's doing. Now, again, if you're an intermediate or advanced player, your next step here is to use my broken stride method, which is bass notes going to a rootless voicing. So before you even get to placing the melody here, you guys actually, all your intermediate and advanced players out there, you have another assessment step. So your assessment step here is just your left hand support alone using the broken stride method. Okay, now again, broken stride method is gonna be rootless voicings or shells with some bass notes scattered around as well. You can pick a bass note by itself, a rootless voicing by itself, or a shell by itself, or both within the same measure. So I might go 1, 2, 3. I'm not gonna talk about rhythm right now just yet. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, shell, no bass note here. Bass note, shell, rootless voicing. Right? Now, that would be an intermediate player. If you're intermediate to advanced, obviously you want to be using more upbeats. Go check out a podcast I did a couple weeks ago about creating a swing feel in your tune. When you create a swing feel in your tune, you at least want an upbeat. You at least want an upbeat. So you might go downbeat, and then upbeat on three. So upbeat on two. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. Start out with a balance of that. So if you start with a downbeat, put an upbeat on the end of two. If you start with an upbeat on the end of one, put a downbeat on three. I'll say that again. If you start out with a downbeat on one, put an upbeat comp on the upbeat of two. If you start with an upbeat, 1 and 2 and 3. Put a downbeat on three. As you become more intermediate to advanced player, you can start to shift those and do them however you want. You could have two upbeats or two downbeats, but as an intermediate player, just focus on a balance. Downbeat on one, upbeat on two, upbeat on one, downbeat on three. That's your equation, your rhythmic equation you should be using all the time. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. 1 and 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2 and. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. 1, 2 and 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3. So you see that? I'm going quite fast. But when I place it down, when I have the upbeat, 1 and 2 and 3, I put the downbeat on 3. When I have a downbeat on 1, I put the upbeat on the end of 2. I'll do it again. 1, 2. Let's do it slower so you guys can see a little slower. Let's go to 90 because, again, 90 is like just getting the hang of it. Okay, so if you can't do this at 120 yet, go to 90. If you can't do it at 90, go to 60. Here we go. 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. 1 and 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2, 3. No bass note there. 2. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. Maybe just a bass note holding. Maybe just holding a rootless voicing. Whoops, sorry. That should be your assessment, right? At this point, because in order to do solo piano, you're going to need to, you know, account for bass notes, chords, and all that good stuff. Right? Because just playing ones and sevens, you know, that can suffice, but you need your shells in there. You need more movement, stuff like that. So you got to get your left hand down first. The final step, okay, in this today's lesson is going to be putting your melody with what you just did. Okay, this is the final assessment step. So here we go. I'm going to put it on 90 and I'm going to do what my left hand just did, but now it's in combination with my right hand. Here we go. 1, 2, three, four, one. Okay. I was doing a little bit more advanced stuff because I didn't always have that balance switching between downbeat and upbeat, upbeat and downbeat. I was doing some multiple upbeats, multiple downbeats. And when you get to a more advanced level, that's completely okay. So you may do some downbeats, you may do some upbeats, right? If I move this to 120 here and I completely go customized random, right, is another higher, even higher level assessment. It could sound like this. Here we go. Here's 120. That was 90. 1, 2, oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Right. So, and again, so on and so forth. That would be your final assessment goal. Like if you can move through the whole tune at that last step, again, that's not a beginner step. That's for the very advanced players. Like intermediate players, you're just focusing on downbeats at first, maybe with your left hand, and then maybe upbeats, and then and maybe the balance that I said with the melody. Advanced players are doing completely random customization with their left hand. So as you can see, really, the assessment doesn't really start to come into to play with your right hand. Like, the melody will never change. Like, more advanced players will be able to assess themselves based on whether they can move around the melody, but the assessment really happens in solo piano, solo piano. And this isn't for group playing, guys. This is just for solo piano. The assessment really comes and matters with your left hand. So if you want to get better at solo piano, your left hand has to be more important. Now, has to be more focused on. I haven't gone into other area of solo piano where we're creating thicker voicings like this. I haven't gone into that because that's a whole nother ball game, right? If you can't do what I just showed you, that's a simple, simple version of playing solo piano as a jazz musician, as a jazz pianist. So many people rush into this. They want to do this stuff. Right? That's not going to help you by trying to pursue all of that. Stick with the simple fundamentals and the foundations of these assessments through tunes. Because once you can do what I just showed you, once you can accomplish these benchmarks, these assessments in your tunes, and then you move on to this stuff that I just played for you, the more advanced stuff, that stuff's gonna come so much easier, filling in the space. This is actually easier. That is way easier to do than the stuff I just showed you before. Left hand completely support your right hand is much harder than utilizing two-hand voicings because my left hand barely moves. I don't even have to do anything. My left hand literally voicing leading through the 2-5-1s, it stays in the same place. And once you get your voice leading down, you really are not moving. It's not technically difficult. Theoretically, it's difficult because you have to account for the extensions, the movements, and the voice leading, but proficiently difficult, technically, it's not that hard, right? But it is more of an advanced way because you are thinking about different types of theoretical stuff. But I promise you, if you do the other stuff before this, okay, you'll be so much better at jazz piano. Again, if you're interested in any of my small group program, go to jazzpianoschool.com/small group to get more information about my open enrollment accelerator program, which is a private 3-month month program where you get to study with me. Okay? Until the next podcast lesson, I'll talk to you later.